Father, we just come before you this morning, God. And right now, God, we just want to thank you for filling us, Lord, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship to you, Father God. And right now, we're just asking, Lord, Father God, that you would just open up our hearts. Have your way. It's in the name of Jesus. In the Great Lakes, we just said. In the Great Lakes, we just said. Come on, somebody give the Lord a big hand of praise. All over this place, somebody shout for Jesus. Come on, Great Lakes region, I know we can do better than that. Somebody give the Lord a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You may be seated all over this place. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How many know there's a powerful, powerful presence of God in this place? Amen. I believe and I know that God is going to do something special. I know God has a word for you and I. Can somebody say amen? And God has a word, amen. And it just gives me great pleasure, amen. It gives me a privilege. I feel privileged, amen, this morning to call up our speaker. Amen. I know this man, amen. I came into the home and he led my life. I always share with everybody, amen. When I came in, I didn't know how to sweep. I didn't know how to mop. I didn't know how to wash dishes. This was 3 years ago. Amen. But this man of God, amen, which is my director, amen, he taught me these things. Amen. He discipled. He worked with me in these areas. Amen. And he's 31 years old. Amen. He's been saved for 9 years, right? He's been happily married for 7 years. Amen. He's been running the men's home for 5 years now. He just recently got licensed as a licensed minister. Amen. And he just had a newborn baby. Amen. She's 1 year and a half old, amen. Without further ado, let me call up Pastor Felipe, amen, as he comes and shares the word here this morning with you and I. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we all stand here this morning? I'm going to stand just for a few more seconds, amen. How many are excited to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to thank everybody for being here. Everybody who drove, I know that drive, did that drive for years, but I don't want to distract myself. I just want to thank everybody for being here, amen. And first of all, I just want to always thank the Lord for my salvation, amen. But real quickly, just look around real quick, amen. I want you guys to look around, and I want us to really notice the miracles that are here. How many know that we're all miracles in the house of the Lord? Amen. How many know we're all miracles in the house of the Lord? Amen. We're all miracles in the house of the Lord, and at times we can forget that. Amen. At times we can forget that, but I want to thank the Lord for my salvation. I thank our regional pastor. I know that he's not here right now, our regional home overseer, Pastor Williams, so just keep him in prayer with his family. You know, just keep that in prayer, but just continue, you know, to lift him up. How many are grateful for our regional home overseer? Amen. Amen. I've been saved for 9 years, serving here in Milwaukee for seven. I'll get into that later, but I also want to take this time just to really thank my pastor. Amen. He's imparted a lot into my life, so Pastor, just thank you. Amen. And that's also something we're going to share, hopefully. Right now, I also thank my beautiful wife. We've been happily married, right? Not just married, but happily married for going on 7 years. I have a beautiful daughter. Amen. She's right there in the back. She's a little PK, so it just throws me off of where God has taken me, that now she gets to grow up in the things of the Lord. That's that something money can't buy. Amen. And something else, I'm going to get into the message. But that's about it. You guys can be seated. You guys can be seated. Amen. You guys can be seated. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Praise the Lord. I'm really grateful here this morning that I get to minister the Word of God. How many came ready here this morning? And I know there's a powerful presence of the Lord. I know that I think we can just go home, right? We're already filled. How many are already filled? We can just go home, and you know, that way I don't have to be up here nervous and get this out the way. But no, let's just continue. I'm real grateful, and once again, I'm grateful and thankful for everyone who's here and everyone who really imparted. Those that are working behind the scenes, just want to thank you right now. Really appreciate everything makes this work together. Amen. Those that went out of their way just to make this come together, just by putting things up, setting things up. I think I really feel now where our pastor feels. I think I really feel now, and he always tells me, one day you'll know. So those days are coming little by little. Those days are coming here little by little. So I, once again, just thank you, Pastor. And so I'm beginning to see. I don't take this area for granted or lightly. I'm beginning to learn. Amen. So here this morning, how many want to learn from the Word of God? Yes. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to share with you. I know that this is the home. We have the Victory Homes in the house here this morning. Woo! Amen. We have the training center in the house. Yeah! Now let me try this again. We have the Victory Homes in the house. Yeah! Okay. All right. That was better. So as I was putting this message together, I had to pray, and I really went out of my way. So turn your neighbor and tell him the pastor went out of his way. I really went out of my way. You guys don't know how many meals I've had in only 4 days. But I do this because I care, and I really want you to have the best. Amen. Amen. Someone said nothing but the best for the best. Right? So I want you guys to really have the best. And I went out of my way really to get into the presence of God, to seek the face of God. There's a scripture that every time I'm up here, I always pray the Word of God. How many pray the Word of God? Right? I'm going to start off early. If you're ever in a trial, just pray the Word of God. It's God's Word. The Bible says it never returns back void. So it's going to come down and do what it's meant to do. There's a scripture that says, I didn't come here with wise and eloquent words, but with a demonstration of God's power. That your faith may not fall upon human wisdom, but on God's power. So that's my prayer here this morning. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Let's just go ahead and read. It says, one day, tell your neighbor, one day. One day Moses was there in the home. Moses went to the home, in case you didn't know. I have a special version. I'm letting you guys borrow it today. You graduate the home, maybe I'll let you see it. Come see me after you graduate the training center. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Goes on to say, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Ask your neighbor, are you in the fire? Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw, God's looking at you here this morning. Amen. God's looking at when you got up. God's looking at someone who drove here. Some maybe drove here in the flesh. And God's looking at you here this morning. God knows when we're going to go back. God sees when we lay down. Some of us have to repent before we hit the pillow. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. How many want to get closer to Jesus? Amen. Amen. This is for you. God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. And his response, here I am. I love his response. How many want to respond to that to the Lord? Amen. Here I am. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. We know the presence of God is here. Amen. The presence of God is here. For you are standing on holy ground. Let's just, there's one more verse, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, it says, then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Pastor Sonny, the God of your pastor. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Let's close our eyes and go before the Lord. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Give you all glory and honor. I know that you're here, my God. And I simply ask that you may speak, that you may have your way. As I've separated myself, that now you have your way. Here this time, I give you full control. Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of those that need to listen to you. A word, home directors, our pastors, leaders, alumni, training center, everyone who's here, my God, you have a word for them. Speak to them. Use me as your vessel. I give you all glory and honor. It's in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Amen and amen. Well, let's get into it here this morning. Amen. How many are ready for the word of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Don't be afraid to say amen, to say praise the Lord. Right? Because I'm going to talk about you here this morning. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him he's going to talk about you. Amen. So here this morning, I know that I spent some time, and as I spent some time trying to get this message together, and I know who's here roughly, amen, so I prayed for most of you. Amen. I've already prayed for most of you. I was here early praying for the seats. I was here early praying for the sanctuary because I believe that prayer works. Yeah. Right? How many truly believe that prayer works? Yeah. Amen. So I believe that I have a message from the Lord, and I know the Lord's been guiding me, so I got to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Amen. So here this morning, this is what I want to do. Amen. I want to speak, and I know there's people from the home. I know there's women in the home, and I've been running the home now. It's going to be about 6 years. And in those 6 years, I've learned a lot. Amen. Tell your neighbor, he's learned a lot. And I've learned a lot through my pastors. I've learned a lot through obedience. I've learned a lot just staying in position. I've learned a lot from the word of the Lord. I've learned a lot from prayer. I've learned a lot from going through events, going through conventions, staying in service, going to service on time. Let me just say this. I know that we're the home. I know the training center is here. But let me just say this. That service doesn't start at 11. Service starts at prayer. That's when service really starts. If you want the Lord to do something within your life, and how many want God to do something within your life here this morning? Were you at the altars here this morning? Right? Were you in position in prayer here this morning? There's a saying that goes, were you at prayer or were you in prayer? Because when you're in prayer, then God does something within our lives. Because I don't have to know exactly what you're going through, but I know God knows what you're going through. And I'm just here as a vessel, as an instrument to be used from the Lord. I say, God, I allow you to use you as a vessel, as an instrument. Because I know what I went through to get into position. So now that I'm in position, I need you to do the rest. So here this morning, I just want to really touch on a word, and that word is really answering the call of God. That word is answering the call of God, and that's the title of this message, because here this morning, I know that we're in the home. I know there's a men's home, there's a women's home, and I know that in those areas, there's trials, there's situations, and at times we may think, why am I here? How many have thought like that at times? Why do we got to go there? Why do we got to wake up early again? Why do we got to go to another job site? Why do we got to do this and why? So we keep asking these questions. Someone once said, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And that's where we see Moses in a minute. And at times, because we don't know our purpose, then abuse is inevitable. And then we begin to just wander off, do the wrong things, be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But here this morning, I want to speak about answering the call of God, because I know as a men's home, women's home, even in the training center, I know that God has called us for a reason. How many believe that here this morning? And as we believe that, we need to ingrain it within our spirits. We need to ingrain it within our hearts, regardless of what we see in the circumstances. Regardless of what we see sometimes. It's easy to blame others in the home. It's easy to blame someone else. He's doing all the work. How come I don't get the credit? It's easy just to point fingers. My pastor always says the best. You point a finger and there's three pointing right back at you. You want to go to the top, humble yourself. The Lord exalts the humble. He humbles the proud. If you want to grow in the things of the Lord, we need to remain humble. We need to know, as the Bible says, all things work for the good of the Lord. Those that love God, those that are called according to His purpose. That it doesn't matter what you're going through. When you're able to grab a hold of Scripture, when you're able to grab a hold of the things of the Lord, when you're able to tell yourself and let yourself know, I'm here because I'm answering the call of God. I'm here. God took me out of drugs. God took me out of jail. God took me out of that position. And now He's placed me here to answer the call of God. But at times it gets blurred because of our circumstance and what we see in the natural. And this is where we see Moses. We see Moses there, 40 years in the desert. I'm asking you, do you want to spend 40 years in the home? We think 1 year is long enough, right? But do it the right way. I want to let you know something. Graduating is not finishing a year. Okay, that's not graduating. Graduating is when you have the promises of God within your life. Graduating is when you're able to be obedient in the church. Not necessarily just to a leader, but to someone who loves God. And you're able to be obedient. You're able to follow. You're able to lead. As he was saying, now he was able to lead others. Are we able to lead others? Are we able to let others know, listen, I was where you were at. I was just there at one point. But don't worry. If you come, if you follow me, then God can bring you through. If you just do as I do, if you follow my example. That's how we truly graduate and grab a hold of the things of God. Because how many want to grab a hold of the things of God? I got saved at 22 years old. And I thank God that he stepped into my life. I was just tired of a boring life. And I say this often. I know there's people that don't know me here, but I had the best of both worlds. I had a good job. I had money. I had finances. I had scholarships. I could got those that know the areas of Chicagoland. I got accepted to UIC, NIU, Purdue. I was everywhere. But God kept closing every single door because there was a calling upon my life. And that's what the same thing that's going on here this morning. It's not really the enemy. And we give a lot of props to the enemy. We're always saying, you know, lying devil and dirty devil. But the Bible says rejoice in all things. Because it keeps our eyes, our minds focused on Jesus. You let go of the things of the past, the Bible says, forgetting what is behind me and pressing on towards what is ahead. It's another Bible study I don't want to give right now, but I like saying it. What Paul was saying in that time, and this was for free, is true. I've read it. I've looked it up. That what Paul was saying in that time, he was already on his second missionary journey, and he was waiting for the door to open in Philippi once he had already got there and established the church. That's who he wrote that letter to while he was in jail. And it's a letter of joy. Some of us can't have joy when we're in the home. We can't have joy even though we're eating three meals a day. We can't have joy even though we're waking up in the presence of God. I've seen people get in prayer, leave out of prayer just to say a cuss word. I've seen everything. I've seen a lot of things. But that joy, the Bible says, unspeakable joy. What Paul was saying, at that time, he already planted churches. He already discipled many people. Commentary said over 100 disciples scattered everywhere. How many disciples do we got? How many men of God, women of God are we discipling and parting into? Speaking into, praying for. Are you praying somebody through? Disciple's not going to get there on his own. You got to pray him through. I remember how many times I prayed for Brother Pedro. He would just come to me. I said, lift up your arms. We're getting into prayer. And he continued. I said, this is what we're doing. We're getting into prayer. I'm going to teach you something called fasting. Continue reading your Bible. Don't worry about studying right now. Just get in the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, for it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You don't got to wait for a preaching. Get in the Word of God. It's what feeds you. Paul was saying, I press on, forgetting what is behind me. Most people think he was forgetting the bad things. He was forgetting the good things he already done. He was saying, I know I've already planted churches. I know I've already discipled people, but there's more churches to plant. There's more disciples to reach. There's more people that are lost. That's what he was saying. He said, I graduated the home, but now what's next? He was saying, I graduated the training center. Now what's next? Saying, I've already learned this area. What more can I learn? What more can I do? What is there more to fulfill in the plan of God within my life? Because that's what it's about, answering the call of God. Here we see in this simple text, Moses being stuck in the desert for 40 years. 40 years in the desert. Don't know where to go anymore with this, with my notes. I'm not going to follow my notes. Amen. I'm going to give you three simple principles, if you will, that allows us to follow the calling of God. How many want to follow the calling of God? Yeah. Amen. How many want to follow the calling of God? Yeah. Amen. Because I'm going to get this ingrained within you. And if you can leave with anything, is leave with this, is that you have a plan and a purpose within your life. Right. And I know we hear it. How many have heard it before? We hear it preached. I'm pretty sure your directors speak to you and they preach it in the morning and they say, God has called you. And we hear it at conventions and we hear it in chapels and we hear it in the training center and we hear it in the international. But has it been within our hearts? Has it truly been within our hearts? Because if it's in your heart, no one can take it from you. No one can take this from me. I know I'm called of God. I remember telling my wife, either you follow me or not. I'm doing this one way or another. It's a whole other Bible study. But three simple principles. I want to share. I heard a preaching the other day, and it said if our brain is wired in a way where if we hear more points and more points and more points, the more we hear it, the less effective the first one gets. The less effective the one was before. So I'm going to keep it simple here this morning. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Before I share the first, I do have my notes. They're there. They're there. I have everything. But I've separated myself. I've separated myself because I want the Lord to speak. I want the Lord to speak, and I don't take this time lightly. I've been through a lot in the home. I went through the home in the beginning. I didn't run the home. I was in the home. I learned everything. I learned how to pray. I learned how to preach. I learned how to continue in my Bible, how to remain steadfast, obedience.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. You want to grow, obedience keeps you.
Yeah.
I always say this because it helped my life. I always say this because it's the only thing that catapults me is I try my best to stay obedient. Even at times when I know that I've missed it. Because I know that I still miss it. That's why the Bible says we're all far short of the glory of God. So I could give you so many things within the Bible, so many things that I've learned, so many things that I've attained, so many things. But obedience. I always say, people say, I don't want to pray, I don't feel like praying, or I don't understand the Bible. You don't have to understand obedience. You just have to be obedient. You think we're going to lead you the wrong way? You think 50 years plus has not worked? It has worked. From 1967, for 300 churches all over the world, obedience has led this way. Our pastors have been obedient at every single step of the way. They've laid down their lives. They sacrificed through obedience. And it's the example that we have to follow. I try my best to model that area just to remain obedient. But yet I know when I miss it. But we don't have to learn at times if we don't understand prayer, we don't understand sometimes the Bible. You don't have to understand obedience. Before I get to my first principle that I want to share of answering the call of God, I want to share this story. Amen. I like this. I like it because it fits. As I shared earlier, I know that we've all heard this. We continue to hear it. I know in the home, I know in the training center, I know there at chapels, and I know at events. We continue to hear this, and we all know, we've heard. How many have heard that you're called of God?
Amen.
How many believe you're called of God?
Amen.
Amen. Got a good crowd to work with. There's a story that goes, there's a church. And this church, they were looking for a pastor. Their pastor had moved on. So this church was looking for a pastor. So they heard of someone, and they had good credentials. So they brought him in, and they said, listen, this was going on. Do you want to be part of our ministry? The pastor said, okay, I'll be there. I'll come in. I'll accept the job. He met with the leaders. He met with the congregation. And he got to learn the church. He got to learn the ministry. He got to learn the people. So the Sunday service came. And they knew he was well known. They knew, okay, this is a man of God. We know that he's going to come with something. We've been waiting. So he comes and he shares a message. And everybody liked it. The congregation, the people, everybody said, wow, this man really knows what he's talking about. Okay, they met up and he said, this is what you got to do. 1 week went by. The following week, he comes up and he shared the same message. Shared the same message. The people thought, okay, maybe he's getting to know us. I don't know. He's warming up. Let's just give him a chance. Third week goes by. He shares the same message. Finally, the congregation said, we got to pull him in. We got to ask him what's really going on right here. What is he going to continue to do this? We got to know right now. So the leadership brought him in. They asked us, we obviously shared the same message. What's really going on right here? The pastor told them, the minute you apply it, I'll change my message.
Come on now.
See, knowing what to do must be translated into doing what you know. Knowing what to do must be translated into doing what you know. Because we know a lot, but can we do a lot? Yeah. I try my best to do everything I know, and it's a lot. I know my pastor pulls me in and he says, Felipe, I know you're doing a lot, but I'm going to add on this one too. I know you got a lot on your plate. I'm going to add on one more as well. I know you already got a lot. I'm going to add on this one. But he trusts me. And he knows my limits. He knows my limits. So I trust. I do my best to trust in the man of God. The first thing I want to share with you here this morning. So we go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Simple principles just for us to apply. Amen. But if we apply this, that's why I shared the story. If we apply this, it takes us forward. Because how many want to go forward in the things of the Lord? Yeah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't get stuck in the home. It's not meant to get stuck. Amen. The trials are there to make us, yeah, not to break us. The trials are there for us to endure. Yeah. Right? No temptation is common to mankind. Yeah. Right? But God is faithful, provides a way out. God is there in the midst. First thing I want to share says, one day, that's it. It's very simple how to apply the word of God. It says, one day, and the first thing I want to share with you in answering the call of God, as we're there in the home, and at times we don't understand. At times we go through trials, and at times we're there and we're in disobedience, and we're there and we're in discipline. But as you read the Bible, we see that Moses, he was going through the desert. He spent his own time in the home. He was giving Bible studies to sheep. He gave scriptures right to the camels. They were talking back to him, but it says one day. And what I want to let you know here this morning is that the answering the call of God takes time. It's very simple to apply here this morning. Answering the call of God takes time. And I know at times we can get discouraged. Amen. I know at times we can get discouraged, and it seems a year seems very long in the home at times. But I want to let you know that Moses spent 40 years in the backside of the desert. And we know why he was there. I stated earlier where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So he didn't know his purpose. He just heard and he said, my people are being mistreated. Let me go and let me try to help. Well, how many have ever helped in the wrong way? Our pastor calls it the right motive but the wrong action. Yeah. Hey, brother, what are you doing over there, right? There is no one next to you. Why are you talking to a girl? Oh, man, I was evangelizing. By yourself? With no flyers? It happens. And we begin to make up excuses where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. But the calling of God takes time. That 1 year in the home, it'll fly by. It'll go by. Trust me, I've been 6 years running the home, going through struggles, going through trials, going through changes. Times I wake up, and what am I doing here? What am I really doing here? Right? I gave up a full-time. Man, I was 25 years old. I turned 26 in the home. I was making, at 25 years old, I was making anywhere between 800 to 1,000 a week. Laid it down, just gave it up. To work with men, but to answer the call of God. Amen. Amen. I did it for many reasons. I knew that God's call was upon my life, but I had an example. I knew that if my pastor did it, if he went through it, then I can do it. Then I could be an example. But I knew that I wasn't ready, and it's going to take time. It takes time, and I really feel that at moments we think we're ready, especially in the home. We think we're ready. Or even us as directors, I'm ready to move on. Even us as directors, we can ask, well, how much longer? I've never asked God how much longer. I've never asked God how much longer. There's someone in the home right now, he just finished his year. He said, hey, pastor, I have to do 6 more months. I know I'm not ready. Willingly. Not like other people, they're counting down their days. Got a calendar. Calendar wasn't even there. Stole the calendar. Begin to mark off their days. change the intake date. You know, now they're telling you when they came in. Well, this is, you know, I don't remember, but you know, this is, and now they got plans. But are they God's plans? Because God's timing is perfect timing. And the Lord kept Moses in the back of the desert 40 years for a reason. Ask yourself, how long do you want to stay there? You can finish the home earlier. You really can. You have to finish, you have to complete the year, but inside you can graduate. Inside you can have that calling of God within you. And that's what truly matters. That's when we're able to, that's the next man up right there. That's the next woman. That's a pastor's wife in the making. Is the calling of God there? Do you know what you're meant to do? I remember someone preaching and they said, if you don't know what you're meant to do, you better pray for it. Yeah. That was everything I taught in the home. You need something, you better go to prayer. Yeah. Don't come to me. I'm not your supplier. Yeah. God's your supplier. Right. Get to learn that one. Yeah. I would always say, go to prayer. Have you prayed for it? If you haven't even prayed for it, don't even talk to me. It's in prayer that I received that people started telling me, you're called to be a pastor. Well, before I even thought about it, before I even wanted anything to do about it, I didn't lay down my life to be a pastor. That was the farthest thing away from my life. Come on now. But God's timing is perfect.
Amen.
I've been in the city of Milwaukee for 7 years, only 7 years. I left everything in Chicago. I was 24 years old, and I say this is the truth. I was 24 years old. I got married on a Friday, had a honeymoon stay in downtown Chicago on a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Monday morning, we packed up our bags and we drove here. No family, some uncle that's far away that I don't know about, no relatives, no friends, no nothing but the calling of God.
Amen.
Now I'm grateful that there was a victory outreach. I'm grateful that my pastor continued to labor. That's the only reason I was able to make that move, because there was a pastor, there was a man of God that labored for 15 years. Because God knew that in the perfect timing, I would have walked to the doors. God knew that if he only continues to labor, there's another pastor in the making, another pastor's wife in the making. But too many times we don't want to wait the time. We don't agree with the time. And we make up our own time. When God's saying, you trust me, I'll keep you in the back of the desert for some more time. God's timing is our perfect timing. How many can say amen?
Amen?
And this is where Moses saw himself. He was there for 40 years in the back of the desert. I'm going to continue to move on because I know that Psalm 40, verse 1, and I want to share this. Just dealing with time, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry, but he said, I waited. Well, there's still men and women of God that learn how to wait. It's hard to wait.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to get told no. We got to keep in mind, Moses was there for 40 years because of one mistake. How many mistakes have we done? Are we grateful for God's grace?
Yes.
God's mercy. That if it really had his way, none of us would be here. Including myself. But it's God's timing. Psalm 27 verse 14, it says, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. The psalmist knew how to wait on God. He was running from caves. He was called to be king. It didn't happen overnight. 13 to 15 years later, while he was being chased by enemies, even though he was called of God, he was still being chased. Though you're called of God, the enemy is still after you. Though you have a calling upon your life, there's still going to be troubles. But it takes time. Joseph spent 13 years in jail for something he didn't do. Could you imagine if everything we did do got added up and then we had to pay for that? Could you imagine? How much money is there right now of things that we did wrong? But yet we forget God's timing. Psalm 130 verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Where do we put our hope here this morning? Are there still men and women of God that learn how to wait on the Lord? Are there still men and women of God that learn how to trust in the Lord? So I want to share this before I move on to my next one. I only got three short things I want to share, and then we're done. But if we apply these areas, that's what truly matters. It's not information, it's transformation. I share this a lot. You get a lot of information, head knowledge. But transformation is what matters. How do you receive transformation? It's just simple application. Go home and learn to take a rebuke. Right? I still got to learn at times. When I get brought in and I don't agree, I still got to say amen to the best of my ability. Took you some good ones. Right? I say, wow, man, okay. And then when pastor brings someone else in, just I say, pastor, just give it to him, you know. Oh, you ain't going to give it to him? All right, praise God. But the calling of God takes time. And we see where Moses was at. I love what the Bible says. If you know me, I love the Bible. Every verse. I didn't quote you a lot, but I love the Bible says, one day, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. He was working for someone else. Anyone ever work for someone else? Right? I know that we got to do assignments that are not our own. I know that we get blamed for things that are not our own. I know that we get told to do something that someone else was told to do. You're not the only one in that same scenario. I'm putting it out of the Bible. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law. We see many things here. First, we see that he was a shepherd. He was still working with other things. He still had his hands to the plow. And that's what God looks for. He's looking for men and women who are going to position themselves and still keep their hands to the plow. Even though it's not easy. And let me tell you something here this morning. You do a study and you look up what it means to be a shepherd, even in these days. Being a shepherd is hard. You think we got it hard. I mean, this is a beautiful sanctuary. Everybody's dressed. Everybody looks nice. Moses didn't look like this. Right? Moses didn't look like me. I look good. I'm handsome. I thank God for that. But Moses was a shepherd. We think at times it's not fair. We think, why do we got to do this? How come we got to do another assignment? Why do we got to go to another job site? Do we dare place ourselves in Moses' shoes? Being a shepherd. I mean, when you make a study out of that, and he had to feed all the sheep. He had to feed other animals. He had to make sure. That's why this says it's a good shepherd and the hireling. The hireling didn't care. Wolf came by, hey, whatever. Why do you think your pastor and your leader say, hey, don't do that? There's trouble around the corner. Why do you think they're trying to warn you? Why do you think that brother, that staff says, hey, come here a minute, let me talk to you. Let me pull you to the side. They're not a hireling. They're a shepherd watching over the flock. That doesn't belong to us, says the Bible. It belongs to the Lord. But we're only being accountable for what has been given to us. And the Bible says, compares us to sheep. I was sharing the other morning, we're compared to sheep. We could have been compared to any other animal, but we're compared to sheep because sheep are a stubborn animal. I shared this last time, but if you let a sheep fall down into a hole and you take it out again, that sheep is going to turn around and fall right back into that same hole. That's how stubborn they are. How many have made the same mistake? Twice, three times, four times. But are we grateful that God opens his door one more time? Are we grateful for God's grace within our lives? That brother, that sister that's correcting you, you should thank that brother. That's the one that you should follow more closer. That one that has courage to say, hey, don't do that. That takes courage. It's easy just to tag along and let things go by. That means that you don't have no boldness within you. That means the calling of God is not within you. Stay away from that person. It's a hireling. I know what I'm saying. It takes true courage to pull someone to the side and say, listen, this is not good for you. I don't want you to make those mistakes. One day Moses was tending the flock. He was working for somebody else. Get used to it. But we have to learn to be grateful in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
That's where the calling of God came. One day, Moses spent 40, every single day. I could imagine how much time Moses kept saying, man, how long do I have to wait? I could imagine. Another day went by, sheep went astray, not enough food. It's the same thing within the home. They're complaining, they're murmuring, the same areas. And Moses just there, but one day. It's God's perfect timing. That's what we have to learn within our lives. Not too many times we don't want to wait on the Lord. Listen, sometimes I get the best times in prayer when I just sit there and wait in God. Sometimes I separate and tell the men, you guys got to pray on your own, but I got to get with Jesus. I got to get my own right now. And I have to allow the Lord to just fill me. I have to allow the Lord to minister. And at times God just says, just wait. You don't have to speak. I know what you're going through. One of the scriptures in the Bible, he knows your needs even before you come to him.
Right?
Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So many scriptures. You have not because you ask not. I could keep going. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. They're powerful in effect. There's so many things in prayer. But are we applying these things? Are we learning to wait in the presence of God? Right? Tell your neighbor, 1 year is not long. Second thing I want to share here this morning. Amen. Are you getting something here this morning?
Amen.
Second thing I want to share is, and this is a good one, okay? This is a good one. The calling of God takes trials. Wave at me if you've been through some trials. Tell your neighbor, there's bigger ones to come. Tell your other neighbor, there's bigger ones to come. The calling of God takes trials. Moses was there 40 years through a trial. Ask your neighbor, what's the longest trial? I guarantee you it's not no 40 years. He was in the desert for 40 years. Chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, in verse 1, I want to find it. He led the flock far into the wilderness. I want to share as best as I can about where it says he led the flock far into the wilderness. It was a deeper trial. It wasn't no baby trial. Right? I had someone in the home, not going to mention his name. I'm just going to look over here because he's really the other way. So was someone in the home. He was probably about to graduate. He was finishing his time, right? This is where I knew where he was at. Someone new had just came in. And we teach all the men when they come in, you know, pray for them and help them out. They're new. They're supposed to come in with struggles, right? 9 months later, you shouldn't have those struggles. Shouldn't have the same struggles 3 months, 6 months. Means there hasn't been any growth. So we get the new brother, and I pull the guys in and I say, listen, this guy is a little bit off, right? Something's going on. Just pray for him, and let's just discern. Okay, praise the Lord. Next day, the brother comes to me and he says, hey, listen, I think this brother stole my underwear. So what, man? Give him another pair. You know, he doesn't have one. You know what I'm saying? He obviously needs one, right? Don't you have like a towel? Didn't you just go shopping the other day? Right? He got so mad, so in the flesh. And he said, you got to do something. Okay, praise God. But one little baby trial. I mean, that's not even a trial. Allowed me to know where this man was at. About 9 months later. There's no calling of God in that. I mean, I've seen someone else take off their own shoes and give them to a man. I've seen someone take the shirt off his own back and give it to someone that came in. That's what God looks at. He's looking at the heart. Because the calling of God will take you through some trials. But how we handle our trials really shows our maturity in Christ. How we handle those trials, it shows our true maturity. By now, we should be able to handle bigger trials. We should be able to say, listen, you can trust me. I can do a little bit more now. Have someone in the home, and that's what he comes to me. He says, hey, what else do you want me to do? That's his prayer. He prays, God, I want to lift up my pastor's hands. He prays, I want to lighten that load. That's what we should pray for. There's saying, I didn't write it down, but it goes, we shouldn't pray for easier burdens, but for stronger backs. That's what we truly need to pray for God to strengthen us on the inside. For when we go through those trials, we're able to stand, as the Bible says, after you've done everything, to stand, and then stand some more. That's what the Bible says, because he knows that we're going to go through some trials. Listen, there isn't no little baby trials here, especially in Victory Outreach. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to let you know offhand that this isn't no ordinary ministry. Right? I want to let you know right now that it's not easy getting up here and sharing. It's not easy sitting in the front row. It's not easy just being a home director and having a title. It's God leading us through the trials. And God is asking us, can you trust me in the trial? There's another saying that goes, a faith that hasn't been tested is a faith that can't be trusted. Has your faith been tested lately? Have you been through something? Man, wake up the next person next to you and tell them, have you been through something? It's only after you've gone through something that you've learned. You can't learn without being in there. You can't learn. If all you're doing is hiding away, you can't learn if you're not getting your hands to the plow. I don't know about you, but I came here to learn. I said yes to Jesus and every single area that came with it. As soon as God stepped into my life, I knew who he was. I didn't have to ask. I laid down my life. I committed my life. And I said, God, at every opportunity, at every door, I'm going to say amen. No matter what's going on, no matter the consequences, I'm here to be committed. I'm here to go through the trials. Ain't nothing going to take me out of this one. Because I know who Jesus is. So I expect the trials. I don't let the trials now throw me off. Though at times it can happen. But we're supposed to learn from these areas.
Amen.
So Moses was stuck in the backside of the desert for 40 years. He did one mistake and he paid for it 40 years. How many mistakes have we done? I know there's people here, we go through the home, we come back out, we go through the home, we come back out. But listen, and I say this very carefully, don't play around with the things of the Lord.
Amen.
We've seen people in and out. Don't be one of those home evangelists. You get stuck in a revolving door. But you got to make it now. Amen, you got to make it now. Tell your neighbor, make it now. Make the home was meant to go once. Was it, man, you know? And if there's been a little fall, a little, you know, spill, praise God. Make that the only one. Did you know that Pastor Ed went through the home and he left the home and he came back to the home? I read the book, Defying the Odds. He didn't agree with something. They yelled at him. They gave him scriptures. And he tried to explain. He said, no, you're doing the scriptures. And he left. But the calling of God was upon his life. And he endured the trial and he came back to the home. I mean, he's one of our generals.
Yeah.
My spiritual grandfather went to the home 3 times and he finally got it right. But he finally got it right. Doesn't mean God will act the same way with all of us. I don't know what God, but it's just a fair warning. And God's saying, yes, my grace is there, but it's not meant to be played with. Trials are meant for a reason. They need to grow us. There's the saying that goes, and I know we heard it the other day, but that God tempts us. The Lord doesn't tempt us, but the devil tempts us. But what that means is when the silversmith was making a sword and he brought out the sword, it's called tempered steel. We learn this. We go, wherever I go with the men, I put on preachings. And we hear the word of God. And we get cleansed and we learn. And we put on worship. But what he was explaining is that when you grab the sword and it's tempered steel and there's little dots, impurities, he continues to hammer away until the impurity is gone. And that's what the trials are meant there for us to do, to remove those impurities. I mean, how many got anger within your life? How many have a little bit of jealousy within your life? I won't go there. How many have lust within your life? We're in the home, right? I know this training center, you guys have eyeballs. We're not human. But we're meant to grow in these trials. We all know the saying, don't just go through trials, grow through trials. How many are growing through the trials? Amen. How many want to grow through a trial next time?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus a hand of praise? I'm going to share one more, and I think we'll finish after one more, but I want to share this with you. He led him far into the wilderness. Moses was stuck far in the wilderness. I want to share. I like this point. I like what it says, and just receive it. It's good. You cannot go from Egypt to the promised land without going to the desert. You cannot go from Egypt to the promised land without going to the desert. Desert is there for a purpose. The wilderness is there to prepare us. How many want to be prepared in the things of the Lord? This is preparation time. So when we go back, we're able to help out our staff. Staff shouldn't be your enemy. Our mindset goes there. Well, he don't like me. He talked to me wrong. Right? Give the guy a break. He's also learning. He's also going through it himself. We don't know what they go through. We don't know what your leader goes through. But it's easy to say, well, he should be doing this and he should be doing that. Why don't we pray for them? Why don't you go out and say, listen, you know, maybe why don't us pray for our pastor? Let's pray for our leader. Let's separate right now. Let's lift them up, the Bible says. I mean, is there Aaron's and hers that are lifting up our pastor's arms? Is there people that still believe in prayer? Praying your family through. Someone said this a long time ago, pray for someone the way you would like them to pray for you. Right? I mean, I'm full of these, man. I just want to share a couple. But we can't go from Egypt to the promised land without going to the desert. It's those moments that make us. I want to share this last one. Or one more, and then I get to the next one. When it comes to God, our God has a big eraser. How many are grateful for that one? When it comes to God, our God has a big eraser. It's the grace of the Lord that's there for us. It's the grace of the Lord. Lastly, amen, lastly. How many are getting something here this morning? Amen. Lastly, I know we still got some time, but the calling of God takes truth. Calling of God takes time. The calling of God takes trials, but the calling of God takes truth. Want to call up the worship team here this morning? Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. It reads like this. It says, though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing. Moses said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. So I want to share something, and then we're going to close off. I know we're going to have an altar call. But I want this altar call. You could leave it there on the screens. I want this altar call. Before I finish off, I shared something here this morning. And I start off by sharing that what matters is what we apply. Not just having this be another message. Not just having this be just another Holy Ghost Thursday, going back home and turning on some TV even though we're not supposed to. Not just going back to our routine, but really allowing and thinking, what does God have for my life? The time I've spent in the home right now, how much time I have left in the training center, the time that I've done, what really have I accomplished with that time? Can I look back and say, okay, I've gave my everything, I've done right? Or are we looking back and saying, man, I don't know if really that was a true time? Because if not, then we need to make adjustments now. If not, God's grace kicks in, and His timing is perfect timing. And the trials that are there, we have to ask ourselves, are these trials making me? Am I even teachable here? Because I know that we could come into the home. I know that at times we could have an unteachable spirit, and trust me, it's hard to work with that. Though we still do it. We don't push nobody to the side. You know how many times I could share this honestly, right? The calling of God takes truth. I could share this honestly. You know how many times I came to pastor and said, pastor, man, I don't know if I can continue to work with this person. I mean, I've been cussed out. I've been, you know, threatened. There's someone that came back into the home with a gun, wanting to know where I was at. Luckily, at that time, I always told the men, listen, when someone knocks, I'm the first one to answer the door. I greet them. I want to get to know them. I'm the first one. No one answers the door. that one day I wasn't there. Someone wanted to take me to the movies. I didn't want to go with that person. I didn't like that person. The Lord kept telling me, just go. So I went. My wife calls me, where are you? I'm at the movies. So, well, this person came back and he was talking Spanish. He forgot. He said, someone's next to me. He mentioned something about give me the gun. And I remember that day. And I said, well, what do you mean? And we called pastor. And the guy, one person was here. The next person here, he told him, give me the gun. And the guy kind of got scared. He said, well, this is a girl answering the door. Right. Just leave. So they left. And he was pacing back and forth in front of the house. I remember my wife called me. We called pastor. Pastor said, just stay where you are. Go to a hideout spot. I was hiding at McDonald's. All right, let's order some food. Praise God, we can still eat. Pastor picked me up and he said, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to scout out, you know, we'll talk to him and see what's going on. And I remember that day. I remember we drove around and said, pastor, that's him. He's right there. It's, I don't know, 11 o'clock Saturday night, right before service. And this is the love, the compassion of our pastor. Our leaders. Goes, talks to the man. I'm in the van. Pastor says, just pray. Have someone else. We're trying to pray. I'm trying to intercede. I'm trying to pray. Next minute, I see pastor walking him inside the house. And I'm thinking to myself, he did not just go in the house. He did not just go in the house. Pastor comes back. Felipe, it's all done. He's good. He's there. You know, I walked him in. He's ready. He's going to come back into the home. Okay? He said, this is what I want you to do. Remember, the Lord exalts the humble. He humbles the proud. Now, I had an option. Hold my grudge and say, heck no. Came with a gun threatening me, threatening my wife and my family. You know, what? Why? You know, he said, hey, listen, just go, don't talk to him. Just, you know, sleep in somewhere else. Get ready. See you at service. Tomorrow morning, apologize to the man. I remember those days. Apologize to the man. I didn't do nothing wrong. Pastor says, I know you didn't. But do you want to win him over or not? Do you want to win him over or not? Guess what I had to do? Sunday morning, got up, got dressed, my usual routine. Went to him, shook his hand. Hey, I'm sorry. He stayed in the home. He did good for a little while. But God wants the truth here this morning as we all stand. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush engulfed in flames, it didn't burn. Hold it there. What I want us to catch from this is that the Lord got Moses' attention through a miracle. And you can examine this many ways and you can look. I've looked it up. Many have preached that there was other trees and it was common for them to burn up, but then they had to die down. But what caught Moses' attention is that this one was on fire and it stayed on fire. It could represent many things. It could represent the church of today that should be on fire from God, that should have a fire within their lives. Long time ago I heard this. I'm never going to forget it. Someone was preaching to thousands. Revival was taking place. Someone asked him, brother so-and-so, how is this happening? He said, it's easy. I just get on fire and people come and watch me burn. It's a fire from God. God does a miracle to get our attention. God shows us who he is. I know that God has shown all of us who he is. I know that God parted the Red Sea in many of our lives. But then what happens next is what God wants to know. The next verse, verse 5, it says, verse 3 says, Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. God is looking at us. God is seeing every last one of us. He knows the timing within the home. He knows the trial within the home. He knows your heart within the home. He knows your condition. When the Lord saw Moses coming closer, it's at those times when you get a little bit closer to Jesus. When God is able to say, okay, I have something for you now. But are we willing to get closer? Sometimes we're afraid because we know we're going to get burned in the trial sometime. Burned by the fire. But listen, let that, God's an all-consuming fire. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, Moses wanted more. Moses said, God, you've shown me who you are. I'll show you who I am. And here this morning, I've prayed for this altar call. I said, God, whatever you want to do, I know that God spoke to us. He's showing us who he is, but he's waiting for an answer. He's waiting for an answer. When the Lord saw Moses coming closer to take a look, God called to him from, now listen to this. I want us to really catch this. God called Moses. God is calling you and I. How many know that God's calling us?
Amen.
The response that Moses gave is what I want us to catch. Because you got to remember, Moses was on the run. Moses was hiding. He probably felt shame. Probably felt abandoned. Well, nobody likes me. They just rebuke me in the home. They just yell at me in the home. They give me scriptures in the home. Nobody talks to me. I don't know how long I've been here. Pastor doesn't even acknowledge me. I don't even know why he paid that money to be in the training center. We can go to those areas. But when God steps in and God says, okay, listen, okay, now you got my attention. I'm going to call you now. But the reply that God needs from you and I is Moses could have said many things. When God called him, Moses could have easily ran away. Moses could have easily said, no, I'm out. I'll just go back. I killed somebody. There is no chance for me no longer. I'll just stay out here. I'll die in the wilderness. I'm happy back to doing drugs. I don't know. I'll take my chances back in jail. But the response that God wants is, he said, he called him Moses. God knows our name. He knows exactly where we're at. Moses' response is, here I am. My question is, are we a generation that responds, here I am? Because God's looking for men and women of God to respond. And there's only one response. Are we able to respond the same way? Are we able to respond, God, here? And this is the truth. Because you got to remember, Moses was educated. Moses' mother told him who he was. So when God called, he knew who was calling him. I love the portion of scripture when Jesus stepped into the boat and calls Peter. And he says, come follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. What that represents, what that means, is if you didn't know it, in Jewish customs, every child, they had a certain trait that they had to do, whether it was carpentry, it was fishermen, it was other areas. And they only had a certain time to try and go to be in the rabbinical school, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. And if they failed, they went to their trade. If they failed, they went to be a fisherman, they went to be a carpenter, they went to be other things. So when Jesus stepped into the boat and he calls Peter, a fisherman who failed, and had to go back to his trade, Jesus stepped into the picture, asked him the same thing. He said, Peter, here I am. You can follow me. And Peter knew this. That's why Peter's response said, don't you know why I'm fishing? Don't you know why I'm here? I failed. But here this morning, I want us to really catch this, that Jesus is saying, don't you know who I am? That I can give you another chance. I just want the truth. Are you going to come the right way? Here this morning, the altars are open. If you want to come the right way, if you want to answer the calling of God, these altars are for you. But I want us to really press in, and I want us to get a hold of Jesus. I want us right now to really cry out and just ask the Lord.